San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB, presents The Lawyer in Blue Jeans. For the next hour, Jeff Isaac breaks down the complicated world of law, talking about legal issues that affect all of our lives.
Forever in blue jeans.
Now, it's The Lawyer in Blue Jeans on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Maybe tonight by the fire, all alone, you and I. Nothing around but the sound of my heart and your sigh. Hey, money talks, but it don't sing and dance and it don't walk. Long as I can have you here.
Welcome, everybody. Jeff Isaac, the lawyer in blue jeans. Happy Saturday to you, the night before Father's Day. Yes, indeed. We're here till 6 o'clock talking law, as we have been now for a few weeks now, going forward at 5 to 6 every Saturday. Tell your friends, neighbors, grandparents, grandchildren, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, whoever I left out, cousins, aunts, and uncles. All right, tell them all. We're here talking not just law. We have fun. We do all kinds of stuff. We talk about life as well. And been here for 16 years, took a brief hiatus, and came back to my favorite place, 760 KFMB, and like I say, we are here every Saturday for your listening information and pleasure. Today we have good show, great show. We got Pat Moore, and Pat is with us on a very constant, regular basis. We also have, in honor of the big day tomorrow, Rich Dad, Poor Dad author, and that's Robert Kiyosaki. Who will be on in about 10 minutes, and he will be talking about his new book, which is, I think, rather intriguing. And we are going to be talking about a lot of stuff with Robert on, you know, that Rich Dad, Poor Dad book was a huge seller. I think it was 28 million books sold, and it really opened the eyes of people, getting, you know, understanding what's going on with finance at a younger age. Understanding what investments are and how to balance a checkbook. So we'll be talking to him. So coming up in just a minute or two, we have the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, who has a new book out. And I love the title. I'm going to let him tell you the title because it is, I think it's pretty cool. From an entrepreneur standpoint, that you know, of what I used to do, and as I grew in law as well, I think it sounds like it hits the mark. And we've got some great questions for him. Robert Kiyosaki, who is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which a lot of people know. I knew a real estate agent who gave that book away to every single client of his. And, you know, there's a lot of people. And I thought I read the stat that it was something. We'll ask Robert in a few minutes, but I think it's like 28 million books sold. He is, he's right up there in his bestsellers. That's for sure. So he's got one. Let's see how it tops the past book. And I'm anxious to talk to him.
Now, back to the Lawyer in Blue Jeans show. Call Jeff Isaac now, 1-800-760-KFMB.
Welcome back, everybody. Jeff Isaac, the Lawyer in Blue Jeans, till 6 o'clock. Talking law, talking fun, talking finances, talking, well, responsibility. I am pleased to have with me the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. Robert, hello. How are you today?
Very good. Very good.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us. First question you may have heard if you were listening in a little bit. Why not Rich Mom, Poor Mom on the prior book of yours?
Well, because of the story about my two dads. My real dad was head of education for the state of Hawaii. He's also a candidate for lieutenant governor of the state of Hawaii. But I call him my poor dad. And my rich dad was my best friend's father, and he was a man without much education, but he became one of the richest men in Hawaii. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a true story about what two fathers taught their two sons, my best friend and I, about money. And as you know, my father being a school teacher or the head of education, we don't teach our kids much about money. So there was a lot of conflict between my poor dad's opinions and my rich dad's.
Now, let me ask you this, and I think we can make the argument that we don't teach our kids a lot in primary education about a lot of things about life. Certainly, money's one of them, but marriage is another, and, you know, just being responsible with your life, not just economically. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I was 9 years old, my rich dad began teaching me, and the only reason he began teaching me was because I kept asking my dad and the school teachers, I said, I want to learn about money. Why don't you teach me about it? And they said, we don't teach that in school.
All right. Now, you have a new book. I don't need to say, we don't need to talk a lot about your prior book because that's been around. How many millions have you sold? Do you know off the top of your head?
Well, in legitimate printed copies, about 27 million. The estimate is another 20 more million in bootleg copies.
Whoa. Okay. That must not please you very much.
That was in China.
Are you in Hawaii now?
What's that?
Are you in Hawaii right now?
No, I live in Phoenix, Arizona now. I used to live in I've lived in the San Diego area twice.
Ah.
Once when I was a Marine at Camp Pendleton, and the second time I lived in La Jolla when I was starting a business.
Okay. Now, the new book you have, I purposely didn't want to give away the title, but I'm going to let you do it because I think it's a long title. But it certainly sounds intriguing, if not for sure true. Why don't you tell us what the name of that book is?
Well, my new book is entitled Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government.
Catchy.
And it's a guide to financial education for parents who want to give their kids a financial head start without giving them money.
And what age would this apply to? When would the first age of a kid read this book?
Well, I think it starts, even before the child can. It's not for the child; it's for the parent.
For the parent, right?
And I think a child knows about money by age 4. They know there's between a $5 bill and a 50. And unfortunately, the reason we have so many poor kids and struggling middle class families is because we have no money education in our schools. Oh. And as you know, today the entitlement problems of America are staggering. You know, I mean, it's going to wipe us out. So that's why I wrote Why A Students Work for C Students. I'm concerned about our country.
So why do A Students work for C Students, and how do we know that? You know, tell me a little bit more of that from the subtitle perspective of you got A students who theoretically, I don't know if they're brighter, they work harder, whatever the reason is, they get A's. C students are average, but you're saying C students are the bosses. What's your premise there?
Well, there's a double meaning for A, B, and C. As we know, there's a grade scores, but A also, in this case, stands for academic people, like doctors, lawyers, and school teachers. And then there's B students, which stands for bureaucrats or government so-called... Okay. Public servants, and then the C students are the capitalists. So the real book is written from a capitalist point of view, because my concern is that, being a former Marine pilot in Vietnam, I didn't fight for socialism. So we're going socialist so hard, it frightens me.
Yeah, I was also in Vietnam. I wasn't a Marine pilot. I was in the other branch, in the Army. But I was there for a year as well. So the ABC doesn't... In the context of what you have written is not A academically, but in the subtitles of what you just said.
It could be what you want it to mean, but if you look at the the reality of the world, or the United States especially, the richest people in America dropped out of school. You know, like Walt Disney dropped out, Henry Ford, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, this last kid from, Tumblr or something.
From Facebook?
No.
He went to college, I think.
One that $1 billion purchased by Yahoo.
Okay.
So the whole thing here is that we need more entrepreneurs, and we have guys who are not entrepreneurs trying to teach people to be entrepreneurs, and that's ridiculous. You know?
So are schools teaching our kids to make money, or are they teaching them to just settle for whatever?
In my opinion, we're teaching kids to be bureaucrats. And, my father was the head of education in the state of Hawaii, valedictorian, Stanford, Northwestern, University of Chicago, also head of the teachers union. And when I talk to most school teachers are not capitalists. They're good people, but they really believe the government should control our social lives as well as our economy. And I am a hardcore capitalist. You know, when I read Atlas Shrugged as a kid, I went, holy mackerel. I mean, this is the story of my family, you know.
How does competition play into this, Robert, as far as, in my mind, I was probably a B student. I was a B student in high school and B plus or so when I got to college and, somewhere around there. But I was taught, and I learned at an early age, and maybe it's just in my genes as well, that competition really takes you to the next level. At least it did for me. How do you, I don't know if you talk, I have not had a chance to read your book. I was hoping to get it, and I didn't get it in time. But tell me, does that play in a part in this?
I believe in competition. What makes me a little disgusted is I went to a kids' Little League game the other day, and they gave everybody trophies. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? What are you guys doing here?
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on the age, though. I mean, I'm a big believer. Like, I had a grandkid just graduate from kindergarten, and it was a big deal. And now, it never was when I was a kid. I know that. In fact, it was no deal. But everybody got an award. Everybody got an award. Now, I maybe at that age, it's okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. But certainly, as we get older, mediocrity and everybody is the same is not real life, is it?
No, and that's really the big question. The reason I wrote Why A Students Work for C Students is the question is this. Do you think schools are preparing your child for the real world? And I'll let you come up with your answer because your answer is most important. But, you know, in my opinion, that rich or poor, smart or stupid, we all use money. But for some reason, we don't teach kids that. And, you know, being a lawyer, to me, when I talk to school teachers, they say we're teaching kids to balance the checkbook. And we're teaching them economics. And I'm going, holy mackerel. I said, why don't you start with debt and taxes? Why don't you explain, to a kid how debt and the taxes affect you? And what's happening, as you know, kids are coming out of school loaded with what you call student loan debt. Then they buy a house and get deeper in debt, especially in California. And then they just stay in debt all their lives. And my whole point here is this, there is good debt and bad debt. And if a kid knew there was good debt as well as bad debt, they may think a little bit. But all we teach kids is get out of debt rather than how to use debt to get ahead.
Now,
the second thing is taxes. Because as you know, in the election between Romney and Obama, I think Romney paid 12% in tax on $21 million, and Obama paid 30% on $3 million. And all the people got upset that Romney was paying less in taxes. Well, I think a child should know why the rich pay less in taxes. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying one is right or wrong. I'm just saying you should know that.
Okay. And then as far as, I understand where you're coming from, but how much of a balance do we need that? Is it completely, in your mind, just academically, kind of rote stuff that people are learning in school? Or in other words, how much emphasis should we have on money versus the quality of life and those kinds of things as well?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest misnomers or the misconceptions is that, in America today, we have 146 million. We have unemployed, granted, about 12%. But we have 146 million working poor people. I mean, these are people who are working but falling behind financially. It's 146 million. That means about 70% of our working population is going broke.
And how do we fix that? Well, that's a long
time.
Let's do this. I got a quick break I got to go to. Can you hang on and we'll do one more segment? Because I want to know kind of a little bit about what you think about how we get around that and why rich people, there's a lot of rich people that go broke. And what's going on with that? We'll come right back to Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and his new book, let me see if I get it right. Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Now, back to the Lawyer in Blue Jeans show. Call Jeff Isaac now, 1-800-760-KFMB.
A great game rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
Welcome back, everybody. Jeff Isaac, the Lawyer in Blue Jeans, here till 6 o'clock, talking all kinds of stuff. We're talking to Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, new book out, Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for Your Government. Robert, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate you taking the time out on a pre-Father's Day evening. Let me ask you this question. Why do rich people go broke? Why does anybody go broke? I guess it would be the better question. But you see a lot of people that file bankruptcy, that go through financial issues after they've made a lot of money.
That's a very good question, Jeff. Well, first of all, there's different kinds of rich people. For example, when Obama said he was going to tax the rich, he wasn't taxing the rich. He was taxing high-income people like Phil Mickelson. He doesn't tax the rich. And the statistics...
Wait. Can I just ask you a question? Would a lot of people think Phil Mickelson is rich?
Well, I think he made $40 million or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'd call that rich. I don't know. I mean, just out of curiosity, I would say he's rich. But go ahead.
Well, no, he was just upset because when Obamacare, whatever happened, his tax rates went up again. So all I'm just saying is that when Obama says he's taxing the rich, he's taxing high-income people. He's not necessarily taxing the rich. And when you look at tax law is really an incentive plan to incentivize people to do what the government wants. For example, I own a house, but I own 5,000 apartments. And the reason I own 5,000 apartments is I get tax breaks for providing housing for other people. I also receive tax breaks for people for oil wells because I provide oil. And I receive tax breaks because I provide jobs as an entrepreneur. So part of a financial, like I said, if I was going to teach kids in high school about money, I'd start with debt and taxes. Because also the more debt I use, the less tax I pay. And that's really simple stuff you can teach a kid. And then the child can sit there and go, well, maybe I should rethink my career. Because as you probably know, being a lawyer, lawyers and doctors pay the highest taxes around. So the rich can pay 0% tax, which I cover in my book.
So I just need this clarified because we're a show of, I like to think of common sense and understanding. You said the rich and then you said high income. What is the difference between rich and high income?
The rich don't work for their money.
The rich don't work for their money.
The money comes in from there's three types of income, you know, ordinary, portfolio, and passive. And most people are working for ordinary income, which is income from their job, or from your savings or 401k. And portfolio income comes from capital gains, like your stock price going up.
Okay.
But passive income comes from investments, and passive income is the least taxed of all income. So the rich are always going for passive income. And that's what I cover in my book. So you as a parent can teach your child that at home, and the child can then say, well, why am I going to school to get a job, and why would I put in a 401k and save money when they're the highest taxed of all incomes?
Robert, my name is Pat Moore, and I've been listening. I've got a couple of questions for you, and one of the things that I heard was that we're not teaching our children what we need to be in school. So what kind of perfect curriculum do you think we need to be putting into there, into the schools? What do we need to do
differently?
And also, how long do you think it would take if we implemented this to see an effect?
I think there would be a major upset, personally, with people when you find out that when you say to a child, go to school, get a job, work hard, save money, buy a house, and put your money in a 401k and get out of debt, probably the worst things you can do from a tax point of view. If people say, well, why are you telling me that? And that's why I write and I speak and all this. If kids understood it, they might take different avenues of education, should I say. You know what I mean? Because education is more important than ever before, but we're not preparing kids for the real world. Another part of education is the history of money. You know, many people say that, you know, taxes are patriotic. Yet if you look at America, was the Boston Tea Party. It was a tax revolt. So taxes became patriotic in 1943 during the World War II with the current Tax Payment Act, and that was so that people would pay their taxes so they could buy more machine guns.
Robert, so, go ahead.
That's what I would teach kids. It's a little bit of financial history, the debt, taxes, and how debt and taxes makes the rich richer but makes the poor middle class poorer. It's really simple stuff.
Okay, so how do we go about changing the educational side of this to make this happen? That's the million-dollar question.
You must be an optimist.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. My poor dad is a great man. You know, he's PhD, a Stanford graduate, University of Chicago, Northwestern, University of Hawaii, graduated from college in less than 2 years. But the guy knew nothing about money. And so because he knew nothing about money, he heads up the teachers' union. And, you know, I sat there as a kid watching this stuff, and I'm going, this is not what I was taught, you know? So you look at California today, in Orange County, a lifeguard can retire at 51 with $110,000 a year annual income indexed for inflation. I mean, where in the world are we with all these entitlements and this government pork coming from? So that's why I kind of wonder what's going on with our country, because we're not going broke from Al-Qaeda. We're going broke from internal with entitlements.
Are we going broke maybe because sometimes wars are waged and nobody pays for them?
No. I'm saying we're going broke from entitlements. If you look at Social Security as a $16 trillion off-balance sheet liability. Now, when I say that to a school teacher, what's an off-balance sheet liability? They don't even know what a balance sheet is. And then when I say Medicare is a $62 trillion off-balance sheet liability, they go, what are you talking about? That means we don't even record that. If you and I did that kind of accounting, we'd be sent to jail.
No, but I guess what I'm saying, just from the balance standpoint, would, you know, and again, I have no desire and I don't do political stuff, but I'm just wondering that when you have like the Iraqi war and some of the other things that were not even put on the books, wouldn't that be the same thing?
Yeah. It's.
Okay.
You're not too, I mean, the poor, the rich, and the middle class, especially the bureaucrats, are all gaming the system.
Okay. And then you talk, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, about the difference on assets and liabilities. Most people would think that their home is an asset, but I believe you say it's a liability, correct?
Yeah, and the reason for that is you have to understand the relationship between an income statement and a balance sheet, which is why my rich dad when I was a kid said to me, he says, your banker will never ask you for your report card. Your banker wants to see your financial statement. And 99% of kids coming out of high school don't even know what a financial statement is, much less an income statement or a balance sheet. So that's why when their real estate agent says your house is an asset, they just chomp on it like a guppy, you know, taking hook, line, and sinker.
So last...
And that's why we had the subprime crisis, because everybody thought their houses were assets.
So who might be smarter, in your opinion, employers, the C students, or the employees?
You have to be smarter to be an employer. I mean, much smarter. I mean, I feel for the small business owner because those are the guys, you know, we're looking at some statistic. Most small business owners, like the little dry cleaner or the restaurant owner, they make less per hour than their employees when you put all the hours they have to put in.
Yeah, yeah.
And they pay the highest taxes. And then they employ the most people.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's a tragedy.
So how do people get your book, Robert? Where I'm sure it's on the everywhere, Amazon and all that.
I always recommend going to a small bookstore because those are the guys need your help right now.
Okay, but you're all over the place, I assume,
yeah,
right?
Amazon sells the most of my books, but you know, I go to small bookstores to do book signings to promote them.
And then after this book, do you have a future thought of where you're going on the next theme?
The next one is a very volatile subject. It's called marriage and money.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about that. I hope you're nice enough to be on my show for that one. Would you like to do that?
I'm honored to be on your program.
Well, I'm honored to have you. I really am.
I love your whole San Diego area because I just can't afford your taxes.
Well, thanks so much. Well, this isn't public broadcast, but anyway, it's I understand a lot of what you're saying, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. So, thank you so much. Happy Father's Day to you, if that's pertinent. I hope it is. And the bottom line is, everybody should go out and check out your book. I think
for your kids' sake. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robert.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for being with us. Robert Kiyosaki, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and the new book, Why A Students Work for C Students and Why B Students Work for the Government. I found it a little intriguing because you seem to kind of say that that's not about A students, B students. There are different acronyms for those, for the ABC, capitalist, bureaucracy, and what was the other one?
Administration.
So it was really.
But I think he was also.
He was mixing and matching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Interesting stuff. All right. Well, see, that's what we do. We get the best, guess the best on the show. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will continue And your calls, 1-800-760-5362. That's 1-800-760-KFMB right here on the Lawyer and Blue Jeans Show.